Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. I was having a little bit of technical difficulty. I don't know if I solved it or not. Anyway, I'm working on it. I was doing a show earlier today, and I was talking about our series on Moses, which is actually a guy who has a Facebook account. But I'm going to change paces here, and I'm going to move over to our newsletter, which we sent out last night, and we actually sent out another one earlier in the week. And the big item in the news today, there's two featured stories in our newsletter, and one is this Free Justina. I actually probably should have called it Justice for Justina, because her name is got justice in it. But she's just a little girl out there in Connecticut, and she had some physical problems, and her folks took her to a doctor, and the doctor was supposedly fixing it, and she was out ice skating and living with her difficulties, but she got the flu, and so she was going to go to the hospital, and so she went to another hospital. You probably heard this story. Glenn Beck was talking about it, and the father finally went public. He's been in this year-long battle with Children's Services there in Massachusetts, because the doctor that he had put in this like stent so that she had a birth defect and she couldn't pass and process the food in her system, and so she needed this stent so that she didn't get backed up and she could stay healthy, and it was evidently working because she was out ice skating and doing well. But she got a flu like people will get, and she went to the doctor, which I thought was kind of surprising. You run to the doctor with a flu, but maybe it was getting really bad. I don't know the details on that, but they went to their regular doctor, but he had moved to another hospital. And so they were advised to take her to this other hospital, and so they did. And their doctor wasn't in at first, and so another doctor saw it, and the other doctor just took over. Because, you know, when you sign into a hospital, you're making a covenant with the hospital, giving them power to make choices on behalf of the patient. And these are all regulated in a huge mountain of rules and regulations. And those rules and regulations can absolutely overwhelm you and take control and take a life of their own, because the hospital is a corporation and it's got a mind of its own, and you can't ever really pin it down, because they can, you know, it's composed of people, but those people, a lot of those people in a corporation don't think for themselves. They look up the rules, or what they think is the rules. Well, the hospital is also connected with another corporation, which we call the state. And the state has bureaucracies in it, which are institutions of the state, and they have a mind of their own. And I'm not going to go through all the details of this, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the principles involved, but I have seen this. Within a couple of days, the new doctor that was now taking over, because they never got to see the original doctor that they came to, because this other doctor decided that the original diagnosis of the girl doesn't exist, and that there was another problem, Munchausen's by proxy. And somehow these parents were over-medicating their daughter. And they may have been to some degree, but there seems to have been a real problem. They got better when they had some surgery. And, you know, I think that they might, you know, lay themselves on the table of the doctor too much. I don't know. I'm not close enough. And you have to be careful. If you want justice in your society, you have to apply the rules that have come down to us through the ages about justice. You know, we talk about a jury of your peers, hearing both sides of a story. I mean, I deal all the time with people who come to me and they've had trouble with the law, or they've had trouble with their spouse or whatever, or their family, their brother, or whatever, and they've got this horrible story of injustice. And they tell you, and you think, oh, this is terrible, this is terrible, this is terrible. And they've just been beaten up so bad. But you have to remember, you're hearing their side of the story. It's really easy to say, well, the government did wrong. They, you know, abused them, or their spouse did wrong and abused them, or their brother did wrong and abused them. And that may be true. But to have justice, you need to hear the other side of the story. You need to hear from witnesses. You need to have, and even then you can be fooled. And this is why you're listening to somebody who has a voice of experience. I mean, I haven't gone through this. You know, my own children haven't been taken away from me or anything like that. And there's a reason for that as well. Because we homeschooled our children. We didn't go to the doctor at the drop of a hat. And I'm sure there were people somewhere in the community that thought that we were abusive. Maybe even people in my own family that thought we were abusive. I remember taking the flak for, my daughter didn't want to go on an outing with relatives. But she didn't know how to say no to her cousin. Because her cousin was insistent. No, no, you want to go, you want to. And they didn't, well, I just don't want to go. And she, but she couldn't say that because they would take offense. And she didn't want to give offense. And I detected this when they came and they asked me. I said, well, do you want to go? Well, not really. But, you know, I knew how it is with kids. They pressure each other. And I knew that particular cousin was a little forceful and opinionated. And so I said, you just tell her that I said you couldn't go. Now she's off the hook. She's not going, well, my dad said I can't go. And she really didn't want to go, but now she doesn't have to tell her that I don't really want to go. And there was a lot of reasons for that, but we won't go into that here. You'll have to get that at a campfire talk. But in this case, she didn't want to go, and she didn't want to offend her cousin, so I told her, just told the cousin that I said you couldn't go. Well, I know there was flack that was floating around that, oh, you know, Gregory doesn't let their kids do anything, you know, kind of thing, which is not true. They do all kinds of things. But I wasn't going to let them do this because they didn't want to do it, but I said, I'll take the flack. I actually said that. I knew this is what's going on. I know how people think. And so I become the bad guy, the ogre. But I'll take it. I can carry the weight. But the reality is there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes of every relationship that you don't necessarily see. And the individual telling you the story doesn't see. They see the story unfolding from their point of view. And it won't be 100% true or correct. And so how do you know how this works? How do you know what is really happening? Well, you should take the time to hear the other sides of the story, the other versions. There's an old Chinese story that's been done in the movies where, you know, there's these robbers that come on, a priest and some civilians, and there's a whole chain of events in the story, and you hear the same story from the point of view of the robber and the point of view of the priest and the point of view of the civilians. And it's a completely different story every time you hear it. It's not the same story. They tell it, each one in their own version. And so what's the truth? And you have to understand that. Now, is the truth going to come out of the mouth of men? All men are liars, according to the Bible. So how do you know what the truth is? There's a spiritual reality to the truth. And then there is what we present. What we present through the physical words and explanations of the truth. And then we can form a personal opinion of what the truth is. But the result of that is picking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're plucking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil what is true. And then you yourself are playing God and calculating it up. That is not the approach. We think those of you who actually know that a jury should decide fact and law, and they should listen to both sides, you get to that point where you understand that we read a story in the paper and we've come to a conclusion and we've only heard one side, the paper side. They may not have presented the truth on either individual. At least nowadays we can actually see interviews, live interviews of people, and hear out of their own mouth. In this particular case, the father is not getting in a position of talking with the hospital and children's services because they won't talk. So we hear his side. And he's trying within his capacity to tell the truth. And he's presenting it as he sees it. And if he's absolutely not overtly deceiving us, he actually believes what he's saying is true, he will sound sincere, like he's not covering anything up. And a lot of people think, well, there must be something else going on here because this just couldn't happen. Voice of experience, it does happen. Why does it happen? It happens because most of you people out there who say you're Christians and that you believe in Jesus, you don't actually believe in Jesus and you're not actually Christians. That's why it happens. Because if you were really Christians, these things wouldn't be happening with the frequency that they have. And, you know, this is a big story now because, you know, Glenn Beck, once he said it, then Fox has to talk about it and everybody else, you know. But the father's been under a gag order, and we'll cover a lot of this stuff, but we're covering this as a theme of the show so that we can actually really get down to the nitty-gritty and address the real problem in our personal relationships with each other. As a people, as a society, as a nation, as a world of nations. Because this show will be heard all over. So what is really going on here? What is really happening? Where is the real power? And how come we are not getting justice for Justina? Why is this happening? Why is she? Because now she's been in the hospital. In case you haven't heard the story, you can read this story and see all kinds of links, and we have videos up on our preparingyou.com/wiki/freejustina. And if you find preparingyou.com, just type in the search engine free Justina and you'll find the page. And you can watch the videos. And you can go to podcasts. Interviews, and you can go to stories that tell you about what's happened. What happened was that some doctor, fairly young doctor, decided that she didn't have the problems that other doctors, genius doctors, had diagnosed. Now, did she have it or not? Well, that hospital that they went to hired the doctors who thought she did, and performed the surgery that allowed her to go around ice skating and lead a fairly normal life. But this other doctor decided that disease doesn't exist, even though there have been people who died from it and diagnosed, and it's been around, and there's whole groups of doctors who say that these disease does exist. This other doctor says it's Munchausen's by proxy. It's all in her head. And they think that she needs to be medicated with a drug that they're promoting. And so they're not going to let her go back to her parents. They're not going to let her go back to the hospital, Huff's Hospital in Connecticut. They're going to keep her, despite what the parents want to do. Now, these aren't parents who say, we don't want our daughter treated. We want our daughter treated by people who were having success. You're not having success. As a matter of fact, you seem to be causing problems and stress to our daughter. You're not solving any problems. You seem to be making them worse. We want to go back to the other licensed doctors and the other hospital in our own state, but now they won't let you go. Massachusetts is keeping a Connecticut resident prisoner in their hospital because their children's services, CDF, I think they call themselves, DCF or something. I've got it here somewhere. I used to have it on the front page. Somebody's reorganized the page. So, DCF. And DCF in Massachusetts, is going to keep her in this hospital, and these doctors in this hospital are going to treat her the way they want. And the doctor who performed the original surgery that helped her isn't allowed to see her, even though he's in that hospital. And when he goes to see her, DCF grabs him and says he can't go see her. And this is the doctor who performed surgery on this girl, not charged with anything. The parents aren't charged with anything. No court is really looking at any criminal activity. The only real criminal activity is legal activity done by the hospital and children's services who have kidnapped this child away from the parents, taking her off of her pain medication. Well, I don't know whether she needed it or not, but according to the stent that it in causes pain, and she can't have that anymore. They took her off her heart medication because she had runaway heart. And they put her in a psych ward because they think that the fact that she cannot process food is all in her head. Now, I know there have been people who could not process food because they had cartilage around things like their duodenum or part of their intestine, and the food simply would not pass through. There was a restriction there. And it was physically removed by surgery, and they got better, and everything was okay after that. And this girl had some of it removed, but she still was having trouble processing. Now, maybe somebody botched the surgery. I don't know. Nobody's accused anybody of having done that. There isn't any charges anyway. No court of law is examining that. But the point is, she can't process food, so she needed to be literally what they call irrigated so that she could pass this food out of her colon. Because, I mean, the extreme alternative was to remove the colon and end up with a colostomy bag. But they didn't go that way. But she needs help from time to time, or she can't eat. She can't keep food down because it isn't passing through her. And these guys say no. They let it go for days, and she doesn't get help. They make her sit on the toilet for hours and tell her that this is all in her head. And she is physically, this woman had undergone major surgery. How do they, her doctor says she can't, her original doctor says she needs help. The new doctor says she's crazy, even though there's been physical major surgery on her. They have decided they are the gods of this girl. Well, now the girl's in a wheelchair. Now the girl can't hardly use the lower part of her body. She's undergone such trauma in the hands of her kidnappers. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, legally, she's kidnapped. FBI's been informed. They don't know what they want. You know, there is a huge number of state representatives and senators that want to replace the head of DCF. I think it's Department of Children and Family. That's what that's called. That wants to remove the head of that in Massachusetts. But the governor won't do it. The governor is resisting. Now, probably something will happen eventually. But the father feared that his daughter might literally die. And he was, from his opinion, her gums were receding, her hair was falling out, she was clearly in a wheelchair. You see the pictures of her on our website of her in the wheelchair and not ice skating anymore. Kept from her parents. You know, she isn't allowed her parents to come and visit her, except for, you know, controlled visits, very short period of time once a week, and phone calls like 20 minutes. Completely isolated in this way. She has sisters that have had the same, oh, at least one sister had the same problem, but wasn't as extreme as the other sister. This is not, you know, the laws that say, and they passed, and I saw them passed, you know, I have memory where I can remember where they were passed in Oregon, where if a child is an immediate threat or in danger, you know, like this is a parent who beats the child to death, you know, this is a serious threat to the child, they don't need a court order to grab that child away. And I've told stories, you can go back in our own community here back almost 100 years ago, and not quite 100 years ago, because actually this child is still alive. And actually, you know, I think she's passed away now. But anyway, the child was being abused by her father, locked in a little tiny closet every time she was bad in the dark and crying all night. That a neighbor walked over and walked into the house. He's big enough to do it. Walked in the house, opened up the little closet, and took the child out and took her over to his house. Was not going to let this child be abused anymore. And the parents left town. No court order, no jury, nothing. They just left town. They just left the daughter behind. They didn't like her anyway. Amazing. But somebody stood up for justice, and it worked. Now today, you have juries that don't even think. You have judges that don't even follow through. This girl is being crippled and tortured and abused and stolen from her family, but it's legal. And it's legal because you've given too much power.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Jefferson did not write, "They are endowed by their constitutions with unalienable rights." Nor did Jefferson write, "They are endowed by their elected lawmakers with unalienable rights." Jefferson did write that these truths are self-evident. Does that mean we have to go to school to learn these truths from a teacher? Does self-evident mean we have to read, study, and research these ideas in books written by other men? No, these truths are written on our conscience, on our hearts and minds, written on our souls by our Creator. These truths are maxims of His law. If unalienable rights are endowed, granted, or given by our Creator to each of us, does that mean that there is no free will choice, act, or deed that can bar us from access to these God-given unalienable rights? Is it a self-evident truth that we can freely choose to do anything and we will always maintain access to these natural law unalienable rights endowed by God? Isn't it a self-evident truth that the answers to these questions are no? Isn't it also a self-evident truth that in order to maintain access to the inalienable rights granted by God, that we must also maintain our God-given natural law responsibilities and duties in order to maintain our position or status in God's government or jurisdiction. Don't the governments of man require obedience to their laws in order to keep their civil rights? Why would it be any different for God? If we want to keep his inalienable rights, wouldn't we be expected to keep his laws, do his will by remaining obedient, loyal, and giving allegiance to him and his government? If an individual, family, community, or nation freely chooses by consent, participation, or appeal to create or join a different government that has its own structure and form, which creates its own civil laws and grants its own civil rights to its members, persons, nationals, or citizens, doesn't the act of joining, giving allegiance, obedience, trust, and faith to this new government mean that they have rejected the Creator's government and rejected His laws? Doesn't it mean that the people have rejected God and His ways and, in essence, expatriating their natural status as a national in God's kingdom government in order to be naturalized into a new government created by men via consent, contracts, constitutions, participation, and appeal? Isn't this what happened to the Israelites when we read 1 Samuel chapter 8? So how does an individual, a family, a community, a nation, once again get access to their God-given inalienable rights once they have lost them by their own free will choices, acts, and deeds? Repent. Turn around. Go the other way, God's way. Start taking back the responsibilities that are imposed on the nationals of God's kingdom government. Responsibilities do not follow rights. Rights follow responsibilities. The first step is to truly love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. If we want our God-given unalienable rights back, we must stop exercising dominion over our neighbors. Start keeping the commandments. Do not covet. Do not steal. Which includes the legalized covetousness and plunder that is mandatory in all man-made governments. Start by coming together in free will assemblies of individuals and families that are seeking to return to God's kingdom government. Families and individuals start by seeking, striving, and working to be the departments of health, education, welfare, economy, defense, agriculture, energy, and justice for other families in the free assembly, but also for other families of families near and far. The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about this situation with Justina, and I'm still trying to figure out technical difficulties. But anyway, we'll solve what we can solve when we can solve it. The point is now dealing with this situation, and like I said, I've seen this with dozens of times, personal experience, hundreds of times over the years, where Children's Services has too much power. And they were given this power because people said they wanted, they have this tendency in themselves to look for somebody to solve the problem. They see something's bad and they say, oh, let's give power to somebody to fix this. And the fact is, it's your job to fix it. It's not your job to give the power to somebody else. It's your job to participate and fix it. But we have come to this mindset in America and the world today that government is to solve the problem. And so we give government more and more power to solve the problem. And we do government a disservice. And in our series on the Saul syndrome, we talk about this. Saul was a great guy until the people gave him power beyond what he should have. People did not retain their responsibility, and they gave him power, and now he has the right to rule over the people. This is what they did. They gave the power to Saul to rule over the people, and they were warned what would happen. He would take and take and take and take. He would take your sons, and he would take your daughters. And this is what's happened. You've given power to the Department of Children and Family in Massachusetts, and you've done it in Oregon, you've done it, you know, whatever they call it. They actually changed their initials from time to time. Children's Services is what we used to call it. But you've given them too much power. And there are probably some great people that work there. And they do a pretty good job. Children's Services in Massachusetts have lost children. Children have died in their custody. Same in Oregon. Registered sex offenders were actually in Oregon working, taking care of children. In Oregon. People who had been captured trying to steal children in Mexico ended up working at Children's Services in Oregon and stole children in Oregon. Now, they don't pick on the family who's got lots of money and a good lawyer and all this stuff. They pick on the family, the weak. And this is the way it works in sharkdom. They pick on families that have problems. Emotional, relational, maybe even some moral problems, but they're still the parents. They'll pick on them, and they will destroy them. They will eat them alive while you're singing in church. I've seen it. I've seen some of those parents rise to occasion. They like to pick on single moms. In California, I've seen it. Kansas, I've seen it. Missouri, I've seen it. This is rampant. The stories are rampant, and children are abused and emotionally devastated. You know, one of the people I've seen just emotionally devastated, an individual, was a psychologist. Actually, as I'm mentioning that, I'm flashing on several psychologists in different states. Terrible people. Horrible people. All psychologists that way? No. But the ones you get power rise to the situation of power. And they destroy lives. They have crazy, crazy ideas. And it's become rampant, the crazy ideas that they have. And I don't know what to tell you other than to stop with these crazy ideas. Stop with this idea of giving power to agencies to solve the problem, and actually start having real religious services. Remember, religion, we define this. I should do this every show. Now, I welcome you to Keys to the Kingdom. Religion is how you perform your duty to God and your fellow man. That's the definition. When you hear the word religion here, in a positive sense, that's the definition we're using. We're not going to use the definition you commonly use, which you think religion is what you think about God, because that's what you'll see in the dictionaries when you look it up today. That's not what was in the dictionaries when you looked it up at the time of the writing of the Constitution. That's not the definition of religion in the Bible. The definition of the religion in the Bible is much like the definition of religion in the early days of America, the main definition, which was performance of your duty to God and your fellow man. How you provided for the specific welfare of the individuals in your community. And if you do this according to the religion of Christ, or the religion of Moses, or the religion of Abraham, you do this by faith, hope, and charity. And there is absolutely no way that I have seen that you can do that without gathering together. There is absolutely no way you can do that without free will offerings on a regular basis to ministers of your choice to perform the specific welfare of society. You have to do it like the heart pumping blood in a body. You have to contribute to the welfare of somebody else other than yourself. You have to cast your bread upon the waters on a regular basis to whoever you choose, whoever you see providing for the specific welfare of members of society. You have to pick the one that is going to do that in your free assembly. And then you have to give to them on a regular basis. The more you give, the better. Unless they're not doing the job. Now, is DCF doing the job? They took a girl who was ice skating, and they've got her now successfully in a wheelchair, sometimes going days without passing a bowel, screaming at her, terrifying her. And we're not talking about a 5-year-old here. We're not talking about an 8-year-old here. We're not talking about a 10-year-old here. We're talking about a girl who is old enough and capable of saying, I am not happy with you. I am happy with my parents. When I'm with my parents, I end up functioning. Now that I'm with you, I'm living in terror. She's not allowed visitors like other people. She's not allowed communication with other people. You should be able to get a newsman in there and interview her. Say, what would you like to do? She's actually has to secret messages out to her parents, written on scraps of paper, which she has folded into origami so that the nurses and DCF doesn't know she is communicating with her parents, who she loves, and who love her in whatever capacity they understand. They are trying. The father now has risked everything because he was under orders from the court not to go public, while his daughter is kept from him for over a year and is being debilitated and injured and made unhappy by those who the courts left her in the control of. They came out with a big story last month about, oh, she's going to be released to another clinic. Hospital is finally going to release her to another clinic. They released her to an outpatient for mentally ill people, but she's not necessarily mentally ill. I mean, I think we're all a little mentally ill, or this wouldn't be happening. But that facility does not take patients in wheelchairs. They do not take patients who need to have their bowels irrigated every so often. They do not take people with medical problems. They are not that kind of facility. They would reject you, except for Children's Services has so much power. Now, Children's Services is talking about moving her again to what they call the ranch for, you know, it's like an asylum. Why don't they give her back to Connecticut Children's Services? At least I think in Connecticut Children's Services, at least at this stage in the game, they'll let her go back to the original doctors and get the treatment that was allowing her to walk around and function as a young adult. Now, you're listening to a guy who does not go to the doctor hardly ever. And I don't believe in a lot of the offers of modern medicine. I think there's a lot of alternatives out there that is not run by pharmaceutical industry that are better for you and better solutions for you than what you're going to get at a doctor's office. But whatever she's getting from Children's Services in the hospital that is holding her captive isn't working. And it's against the wishes of her. It's against the wishes of her parents, who, when she was in the custody of her parents, it was working. I personally think that there's other alternatives better, but the father thought his daughter was, she could literally die. And so he spoke up. And immediately, the hospital, who really doesn't have hardly any defense, I've seen how this works. You can, you know, I can be in a room, you know, 100 feet away from this kind of people that you're dealing with there. And I can sense that spirit in them. Now we're talking metaphysical here, so, you know, where's my proof? I tell you stories till the cows come home about the proof. I've seen it. You can... If you start walking in the spirit, this is what those parents needed to learn before they went to the hospital. And maybe if they had done that, they wouldn't even gone to the hospital. But they didn't see this coming. They were ill-prepared. They were going up against the beast once he was in that hospital. They were doing everything. Doctor said, we're going to try a new approach. Okay, doctor, let me hop up on your table. That was their attitude. Cooperate with organized medicine, and I throw myself on their altar. That was their attitude. That was a mistake. Doesn't mean they should have their daughter taken away from them, but that's what ended up happening. When they saw that these medical practitioners were starting to injure their daughter, make their daughter's life miserable, and not fixing the problem, and actually, from what they could see, misidentifying the problem. They wanted to go back to the other licensed professionals. They were not allowed to do it. And the other licensed professionals, who that hospital thinks are great and geniuses, wouldn't allow those geniuses to see her anymore. What happened here? He saw the beast nature in DCF and in the hospital's administrative staff and in this doctor who was saying that diseases that clearly do exist don't exist, and only the diseases he's trained in resolving, you know, this vain individual is going to solve everything. And it's not, but he's not going to admit it. You know, where is he going to say, you know, I really screwed up. I just, you know, fresh out of residency, and, you know, I thought that this, because it had the signs. He saw the signs of Munchausen by proxy. But he didn't sit down and consult with the doctors who originally helped her. He just decided on his own, we're going to go another way, because I had the power. He had the Saul syndrome. Somebody gave him power, and he was going to run with it. And he'll even kill David with a spear if he could get away with it. So, you know, they've equated this father as, you know, David and Goliath. And to some degree it's true, but He needs to, what did David do? David did not put on the armor of his brothers or of Saul. He didn't put on that armor. He put on another armor. And this is the problem. That father didn't have the right armor on. And maybe this was meant to happen so that some of you might wake up and realize that Justina is not just his daughter. Justina is your daughter. Justina is your daughter. You must think of it as that way. And they are abusing your daughter. What are you going to do about it? Because, see, you have to care about his daughter as much as you care about your daughter. If you're going to claim to be a Christian, I shouldn't have to tell you that. So you should want to do something about this. Now, what do? You pick some idea out of the knowledge of good and evil? You're going to have to pray about this. One of the ways to pray about this is to read about it, to think about it, to ponder it. And when you read the information presented, ponder about it. Don't ask another reporter, although you can do that. I mean, where's the real answer going to come from? Real answer is going to come from God, not because you're really good at studying every single report out there and you've looked at all the videos and you've listened to all the audios and you've looked up the law and you can do all that stuff. But the answer is going to come because you realize that you don't have the answer. Flesh and blood does not reveal the answer. God does. God, in this, from this other mysterious spiritual realm, is the power here, if we would let that power manifest itself. You literally could walk in there, take a hold of her wheelchair, and walk out. And no man would lay hands on you if you would do that with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't imagine the power of the Holy Spirit. It lists it where it wills. You actually have to have that power with you. If you really had that power with you, and this is how far it can go, you could walk in there and lay hands on her. And she would get up and walk out without the wheelchair. But you don't have that power. Because you have not put on the full armor of God, because you have not yet repented, because you still look to men who exercise authority to provide you with your social welfare, and because you don't care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. You care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself, then why are you not tithing every week to a minister to provide the social welfare of your society and assembly of assemblies through faith, hope, and charity? How come you're not doing that? Because you're not following the ways of Christ. When I say tithe, I mean 10 families. Get together, pick a minister, the best servant amongst you. And that servant does what? Provides according to the means that you give him or her for the welfare of your 10 family group. Plus, equal time must be dedicated to all other congregations. So there are 9 other congregations like himself, because he's in a group of 10 as well. And he has to spend half his time concerned with those other 9 congregations and what they need. Now, some of them are going to need more than others because that's just the way life is. You know, in the last show I was talking about Moshe, who we will have a series of shows, conversations with Moshe, Moses. And I brought up the fact that back in around 500 AD, something took place on this planet. There wasn't a summer. There just wasn't a summer. I mean, winter just went right through. And the sky darkened. I mean, The sun barely could give its light. The moon changed color. For over a year, this went on. Millions of people around the world starved to death. People were eating people. In some provinces of China, 80% of the people died out. They starved. No food. I don't care if your VCR works or your DVD works or your cell phone works or your what is it, your BlackBerry? I was going to say Gooseberry. Works or whatever. If there ain't no food, you're in trouble. You think it's bad because you can't get cell reception? You what are you going to do when there ain't any food? And that could happen. It's 500 AD. All of a sudden, something happened on this planet. Now, some people thought it was a meteorite hitting the ocean, but we don't seem to find any evidence of a tidal wave that it would have caused. And besides, now when they do the ice cores on the big ice packs and they get down to that period, they find acid. There was acid snow, acid rain. And so they know there was something happened. They believe it was volcanic eruptions, more than one. They suspect Krakatoa as one source, but they just don't know. Probably anybody who was near whatever erupted, they were all dead anyway, so they didn't report it. But why multiple eruptions at one time? What causes that to happen? Well, what energy levels are rising where all of a sudden volcanoes are going off all over the place? You know, or at least these really volatile volcanoes where they have these vast explosions that shoot sulfuric acid and other chemicals high into the atmosphere that will go all around the Earth for years, blocking out the sun, causing mass starvation, plants dying out because it freezes where it never freezes. You know, all your coconut trees die out all the way down to near the equator even. Maybe even you could even actually have an event where they would die out all the way to the equator, and then the only coconut, and as this whole scenario pans out, and things start, you know, because the planet's going to try to get back to normal. You have this period of violent events, and it's going to try to get back to normal. But all your coconut trees are going to be little tiny little coconut trees, as along with all the other tropical plants that just can't take freezing. They all die out. Your bananas. Suddenly, you know, how many people eat bananas? How many tons and tons of bananas are coming from the tropical regions all around the world every day? Coconuts. All kinds of tropical fruits. Passion fruits. And what have you. Oranges. Suddenly, you have no summer. Intense winter that reaches way to the southern hemisphere. You know, to the equatorial regions, the troposphere, and those plants die out. Yeah, you can get them planted back again. How long can you wait? Today in the world we have 30 days supply of grain. What happens if all those crops fail for a year? People are going to get hungry.
We need to repent. We need to seek that kingdom. Until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.